I want to apologize ahead of time. I believe I've got a lot of rodeo dust in my throat. If you know, yesterday we restarted going to junior rodeos, and I'm sitting there and I'm singing, and I just had to stop. Not that, first of all, I'm not a good singer to begin with, but I can feel it. And when you get out of these rodeos, I can't say this because my wife will kill me. She's like, put your finger up your nose, see how much dirt comes out. And she's showing me the dirt on her nose. Oh, so I shouldn't have said that, should I? I love you. All right. Luke 15, verses 8 through 10. And so if I have to stop and get something to drink, I want to apologize ahead of time. I don't sound good already, and now it's going to be a little bit worse. I do want to say, be praying for the Jackson family, Keith, and the loss of your brother. We're praying for you, and give them your prayers. Let them know how much you love them and appreciate them. And but Luke 15, verses 8 through 10, we're looking at a three-part series out of Luke 15. And we're talking about search and rescue. This is the second sermon. One of golf's most immortal moments, and there's many different stories concerning this, so I don't know exactly what is accurate and what is not, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. One of golf's immortal moments came when a Scotchman demonstrated the new game to President Ulysses S. Grant. The Scotchman carefully placed the ball on the tee. He took a mighty swing. The club hit the turf and scattered dirt all over the president's beard, while the ball remained on the tee. Again, the Scotchman swung, and again, he missed. Our president waited patiently through six tries and then quietly stated, "There seems to be a fair amount of exercise in the game, but I fail to see the purpose of the ball." Many people inside the church and outside the church fail to see the purpose of the church. One of the main purposes of the church is to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ inside its doors and outside its doors. We are to be engaged in announcing the good news. It is one of the main purposes of the church. And you're thinking to yourself, well, what could be the other purpose? Well, our ultimate purpose is to worship God and to glorify Him. And we do that both privately and in public worship. He is creating a people to worship Him, but that creation of the people to worship Him involves us being on mission with God, and that is declaring the plan of salvation to those who do not know Jesus Christ. Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." If that is the purpose of our Lord and Savior, should it not also be our individual purpose and the purpose of this church? And if we are not engaged in that purpose, are we a New Testament church? Are we New Testament Christians? Are we obeying God's command, the Great Commission? Now, anytime I preach these sermons, and I'm asking these questions, because I just want you to think, we all know that we fail at this, right? I mean, come on, let's just be honest with one another. As individuals and as a church, we fail at this often. But our failures should not prevent us from renewing our efforts to obey Jesus, right? Because He forgives us. And it is by His Spirit, and only by His Spirit, that we're able to do what He has commanded us to do. So let us not be downcast, downtrodden, or beat down. My purpose is not to beat you down this morning. My purpose is to uplift you through the Word of God. Would you stand with me as we read Luke 15, verses 8 through 10? Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. May we rejoice as well. You may be seated. God, I ask you today to bless your most holy and perfect word. To be faithful in personal evangelism, to be faithful to what God has given us in the Great Commission, to be faithful to our purpose, we must repent of carelessness. And you're thinking, Pastor, what are you talking about? Have you ever lost anything because of carelessness? I lose stuff. I'm really bad at, when I get cash, just sticking it in my pockets. And I don't carry a wallet because I'm so hefty to sit on a wallet in my desk chair causes me back problems. Anybody else got that? No? All right. Chiropractor told me to take my wallet out of my back pocket. I carry a little, not that you need to know all this. I don't even think I have it on me. I clean out my pockets. Something similar to this that has some of my IDs in it. But I lose money because I stick my hands in my pocket. Jerry's like, you use that as your purse. I mean, I've got everything in those pockets that I will need throughout the day. But you pull your hand in and out, you're going to lose money sometimes, right? I've lost pocket knives. I'm also can be lost directionally. I can be directionally challenged. And it's usually because of carelessness. Now, I've gotten better now that we have, maps on your phone that direct you the exact turns to make. When I was dating Jerry, she was at college at Agnes Scott in Atlanta, Georgia. And I, of course, was at the premier university of Vanderbilt University, but we won't talk about that this morning. All right. No, I'm just teasing. I was going to see her. And she wrote me a letter. Yeah, that's right. I can't believe I'm saying this. No text messaging, no email, a letter with the directions. We talked once a week, usually on a Friday night after 10 p.m. Is that right? Because we got the best rates. All right? Anyway, she writes me these directions, and then her father proceeds to give me his directions. I was careless because I did not carry that letter with those directions with me. I just started off pretty well, thought I could find my way there. What should have been a 3.5, 4-hour trip turned into about a 6-hour trip. And at one time, I was headed to Augusta, South Carolina, is that in South Carolina or is that in Georgia? I think both of them. But I was headed in the totally wrong direction. In this parable, Jesus teaches that a woman had 10 coins and then lost one of them. Why did she lose the coin? It can be inferred from the scripture simply because of carelessness. Now, the previous parable with the lost sheep was preoccupied, looking for greener grass, which could be considered careless, but wandered off through preoccupation. In our current parable, the woman lost the coin because she was not paying enough attention. I believe that many people go through life not paying attention to what they are doing. And that is reckless. They do what feels good, and they pay no attention to the purpose of their life. Do you ever think about the purpose of your life? Not just career, not just making money, but your purpose in life. People are careless about obeying and utilizing the knowledge of God that they have received. It is careless on your behalf this morning if you hear this message and then you don't apply it. And there are many of you who will not apply it. Matter of fact, you're already debating what you're going to have for lunch. I don't know if you're back in restaurants or not, but you're debating, I'm getting pretty hungry. What can I eat today? It is carelessness on behalf of people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and not to commit their life to Him. So if you're an unbeliever here today, it is careless for you to hear this message and not respond in faith. It is reckless. To the church, to believers, it is carelessness that we do not engage in evangelism and have a plan to conduct missions here at the church. It is careless, church member and believer, if you do not do everything in your life to support the purpose of the church. And that is with your finances, that is with your time, that is with your energy. It is carelessness. There are some people who just don't simply think about these things. They're blinded. Ben Franklin, it's attributed to him. Once again, when I give you these quotes, I try to verify them. I do the best I can. If it's not the actual book I'm holding in my hand, I'm just throwing it out there. For want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, the horse was lost. And for want of a horse, the rider was lost, overtaken and slain by the enemy. And for want of care about a horseshoe nail. To be faithful, we must repent of carelessness. That is for the believer here this morning and the unbeliever. Verse 8, to be faithful, you must search with persistence. Notice what happens, or what the woman does once she discovers that the coin is lost. What does she do? She lights a lamp and she sweeps the house. Have you ever just done a sweep of the house? I'm not talking about with a broom, because you've lost something. I'm already in hot water over the rodeo dust this morning. Jerry is not like me. She got pretty good eyesight, but there's twice this week where she's like, "Has anybody seen my reading glasses?" And they're on her head. "Anybody see my cell phone?" And Owen's walking behind her and it's like, it's in her back pocket. "Is this your cell phone?" This week I lost a pen. I know that seems insignificant. But I like good writing pens. You understand what I'm saying? I may have just a little bit of a fetish on it. I love pens. And I don't know if it was carelessness that I lost it or the fact that my wife moved my items. We will not discuss that here this morning. But we did a sweep, me and Owen did, of the house, did we not? Pulling out, once again, that sofa bed. Clark, I think you got engaged in it too. Where we found the Amazon Fire Stick remote. But we have not found the pen. Persistence means we as believers in the church must be diligent in our efforts to search for the lost and to rescue them. That means we must have a plan. Right? We can't just come at this willy-nilly. Now, I have created a mission statement that is on our website. The church has not voted on that mission statement. I was handed the task. I think I saw Eric Yarbrough. I was handed the task of creating a website, and we created one. And I've got a mission statement on there of why we exist. We exist, have you heard me say this before? To delight in God, display his love, and declare his gospel. Now, that's not a vision statement. You would call that a mission statement. We don't have a typed out, really, vision statement, even though I have one personally. But the church needs to be committed to a goal, to a mission, to a purpose. And that must involve evangelism and missions. That means that our budget must support that. That means that the Acts 1:8 fund must have a purpose. Okay, I didn't get any amens on that one. We used it to help build a church in India. Praise God. We need to continue to use that fund and have a plan on how we're going to use those resources for the glory of God. It is Billy Sunday who said, "More men fail through lack of purpose than lack of talent." I'm going to reveal some numbers to you here. And my purpose is not, once again, to go down a road of negativity. But several years ago, the North American Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention reported that 67 churches closed their doors every week. No longer exist. So I wanted to update those numbers. See if I could find some new numbers. One statistic said that 3,700 churches close per year, or that's 71 per week. In 2019, Tom Rainer, the former head of Lifeway Christian Resources, said that anywhere from 6,000 to 10,000 churches die each year. I think I hear a bird. All right, where's Danny? What I want to share about this is the Bible says that the gates of hell will not prevail against God's church. But nowhere does it say that the doors of certain churches will close because they are not fulfilling the purpose of God. He's given us a purpose. And we are to be about that purpose. Don't ever think that we're above these doors closing. If we are not glorifying God and enjoying Him forever, the chief end of man, if we are not engaged in the Great Commission, why should He bless us? Now, He can out of His great mercy and grace. But I want us to think about what we're actually doing. Are we searching diligently, persistently? Are we laboring for the harvest? Lastly, verses 9 and 10. "And when she had found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." I want to talk about the value of human life. To be faithful in personal evangelism, to be faithful in missions, you must see the value of human life. Do you realize that God sees value in all human life? All human life is created in His image. Go to Genesis chapter 1. And it gives us the creation. And after each day, after He is created, it says it was good. Up until after the creation of human beings, in Genesis 1:31, and God said it was very good. All human life is valuable to God. It has been said that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. If that is true, then value is in the eye of the beholder. And when we don't view life through the lenses of the Bible and Jesus Christ, we don't see the value of a human soul. My cousin, or my nephew Matthew, who's at the rodeo with us yesterday, when he was little, he would rather get a nickel than a quarter. He put more value on a nickel than a quarter. I say that to you today because are we like Matthew in the sense that we put value on something that is far less than the value of a human soul? Did I say that right? Are you tracking me? Why do I, as the pastor of this church, stand against abortion? Because all life is valuable to God. Can I say Black Lives Matter? Yes, I can. But I can also say Hispanic lives matter, Asian American lives matter, white lives matter, cops' lives matter, first responders' lives matter. Ben, as a firefighter, you matter. All lives matter. Now, being told that if I give that caveat, then I am a racist. That I must only say Black Lives Matter. But I can't do that because of what the Scripture teaches me. All lives matter. I want justice for all lives. We are God's people. We have been created in His image. We want justice for everyone. That's the Bible that I am teaching you, that I read, that I study. For there is neither Jew nor Greek, but we are all one in Christ. You want racial reconciliation? The gospel is racial reconciliation. That's the key. So I say to all military men and women, your lives matter. All lives matter. Because God loves the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. There are two camps in our current culture. You're either a victim or you're a villain. I don't want to be a villain, and I don't want to be anyone to be a victim. And I don't want to be one who does not listen. The Bible tells me that I need to be, what, quick to listen, slow to speak? I want to hear about the pain that is occurring in our culture today. I don't want anyone to live in fear. I don't want anyone to be oppressed. I don't want anyone to be oppressed by sin. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight. That's the message of the Bible. And until we return to that message, we are never going to be able to overcome our societal issues. In fact, this world is never going to be a utopia. You want to know where utopia is? That is called heaven. Sin is always going to be a factor. Sin is what is going to separate us as people groups. We all need to repent. And we need to show the world and display to the world the love of Jesus Christ and stand firm on the truth of His word. I probably got myself in trouble a little bit there, but do you realize that people who do not know Jesus Christ, that they are going to an eternal hell? Do you think about that? Do you ever give a second thought to that during the week? Do you pray for those who do not know Christ. Listen. We should be alarmed about what is going on in our culture. But let me ask you this. Have you once prayed for the rioters that they would come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? Or do you believe that they are not worthy of salvation? Now, we can be upset with what is occurring, but are we praying for the lost? Are we sincere about it? Do we wake up in the mornings praying? Do we go to bed at night praying? Is it possible that you have lost the joy of your salvation? Is it possible that you don't realize that you were rescued? Well, Pastor, I've always been pretty good. Never engaged in the things that I see out in the world. Then I ask you, have you ever been rescued? Because once you're rescued, you realize who you are as a sinner and the grace of God in salvation. You will not talk about how good you are. You will talk about how good the Lord is. Because you will realize the sinfulness of your own heart. And if you don't realize the sinfulness of your own heart, have you ever come to God through Jesus Christ to be saved from your sin? That's the question I ask of you today. We, as a church, should be about the love of God and the love of others. I've talked about this for weeks. A poll several years ago said that 79% think Christianity is more about organized religion than about loving God and loving people. May God have mercy on us if that is true. Paul to the church at Corinth, there was great division over food that was offered to idols, whether they should eat it or not. Now, I know that we don't engage in such conversations now, except those of you who are vegan and are trying to convince me, or vegetarian, that I need to be that way as well. I'm hoping that there will be meat in heaven for those of you. That may be offensive. Food offered to idols. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 8:13, therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again that I might not cause my brother to stumble. Do we approach our life in word and deed that we are going to live in such a way that we will never be a stumbling block for someone coming to Christ? Listen to me, Christian. Stop blocking the cross. We need to make sure people see the love of Christ in us so that they see the cross, they see the sacrifice, they see the love, and they will come running to Him. Let's stop being careless with our lives, Christians. Let's live in such a way that we are leading others to Jesus. I want to be like David Brainerd as I close this morning. He was a missionary to the Native Americans. He lived from 1718 to 1747, a relatively short life. He wrote this, I care not where I go, or how I live, or what I endure, so that I may save souls. When I sleep, I dream of them. When I wake, they are first in my thoughts. Stop living carelessly. Be persistent and diligent in standing on God's word and sharing the gospel. Oh, how I pray that you agree with me in that all human beings are created in the image of God and that they are valuable in His sight. Because if we can't agree on that, then we've got a problem. Because God said after he created man and woman, it is very good. Let us pray. Oh Lord, as we end this service, forgive me, Lord, where I may have mistaught your word. Lord, where I may have misapplied it. Lord, you are the one who is not a God of confusion. You're not a God of chaos. So I'm asking you to bring clarity here today. May each person search themselves. May you, Holy Spirit, search their heart. Let them no longer live carelessly, but pursue you with all of their being. Oh Lord, this is your church. This is your world. And even though we do not understand all events, we're going to trust in your providence, in your sovereignty, in your goodness. We know that you have a plan, Lord, that you have a purpose. May we join that plan. May we engage in that purpose. Give us a burning desire for your truth. May we stand firm upon it and declare it in love. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, this morning, once again, the response time is a little different. But if you want to talk to me, I'm available after the service, and we will talk and pray together. But I'm going to end with this benediction, which I think is very appropriate out of Luke 15. Would you stand with me? And we will say this together. It comes from Luke 19:10. This is from the New American Standard Version. It's the one that I know best. Let us say it together. For the Son of Man has come at seek and to save that which was lost. Sorry, I didn't say that very clearly. We didn't have a good cadence there. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. May we be about the same purpose. Go out into this world, display the love of Christ, declare his gospel. You are dismissed.